Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect life. So come as you are, broken and scarred. Lift up your heart and be amazed and be changed by a perfect God.
All right, so good morning. Thank you for choosing to be right here on Lake 96.1 and Journey with Judy this Sunday morning. A couple things. Number one, I got to do a shout out. When you have your own show, you can literally shout out to people in your family who clearly are not listening because they live this with me every day. They do not tune in on a Sunday morning. But a shout out to my son, Carter, who is 23 years old today. And even a bigger shout out to my daughter, Campbell, who made her confirmation this past week. She received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which, as we know, as people of faith, are so desperately needed to navigate life. I mean, it's just almost impossible. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be a teenager these days. I know how hard it is to raise them. So a shout out to her for her willingness to be open to receiving those gifts that could certainly help her navigate her life in a just much better way than her mom. So the highlight, and I'll get to both of those two kids of mine in maybe in segment two or three. But the highlight of the week was the trip to my most favorite doctor. I mean, I love going to the doctor, the dentist, the whatever, because I just make the absolute best of those scenarios. And yes, I am the person who calls for the appointment with the expectation that you're going to get me in like tomorrow. Like I call and say, I need to come in. Here's my availability. Like tomorrow from 10 to 12, I can, you know, buzz on in and have this appointment. And not only was I calling for an appointment for myself, but I needed one for Bob and for Kennedy as well, who's home from college for just a few weeks. And so three out of the six hairs needed an eye doctor appointment. And of course, our window of opportunity was, you know, 24-hour period. So, of course, they always accommodate me everywhere I call. I think this does not happen to everyone. So I just feel like I can, I don't know if it's more pushy, more persuasive, nicer to the people. I don't know. But I can tell you they confirmed my appointment within one day, which was the beauty of Dr. Webb. Okay, so my eye doctor is Dr. Elliot and Webb, Dr. Webb specifically out of Janesville. And not only is he like a great doctor, I mean, just a great, great eye doctor, so thorough, just so intentional, so about serving. And you know what? That comes from his practice and philosophy of not only being a great doctor, but a godly guy. I mean, he is literally the most patient, kind, loving guy. And so if you have any doubt of that, it is absolutely evident when you walk into his office, because the entire office is filled with not only people that are acting like Jesus, but signs and messages and references to faith and God and love. And it's just kind of a feel-good place that I really do absolutely love going to. So here's the thing. He's that guy who spends like so much extra time that it makes the person waiting in the other room so irritated because they made this appointment, but he's so thorough and so kind and wants to pay such attention to such detail that inevitably you're waiting longer than you have to, but you could be so happy once he gets to your room because he's going to give you the same kind of care and attention and whatever. So here's what prompted the visit. Is I have these glasses. They are trifocals. Okay, if you're a person who's blind like me, or I was diagnosed as being blind a year ago and I got these new glasses. And although I've been complimented many times on how nice they are, they're trifocals, okay? I am blind. I am a blind person. And so it's hard for me to not wear them. There's times where I don't want to wear them. I don't want to wear them when I'm being active, running, exercising, doing the things that I do. And so I went there specifically for a backup pair. The backup pair was just in case something happens to these, because just a few weeks ago I was in a hotel and left these glasses on the treadmill in a hotel in Iowa. And I freaked out because, of course, I thought they were stolen or gone. And anyway, long story short, so it was the backup pair of glasses that brought me a checkup for Bob, a checkup for Kennedy. So here we were. And of course, Campbell came too. So all four out of the six hairs showed up in this Janesville eye doctor appointment. The office, I had Bob clarify, is about 10 by 10 in the waiting room. So when we walked in, not only do people know that we're there, but if you don't see us, you definitely hear us. There's something about the Hare family arriving on the scene that seems to be like get people's attention. I'm not sure what that's all about. But here's the deal. It was confirmed. It was absolutely confirmed that I am farsighted, let me get this straight, which means I don't see things close up, right? I could see far away, but not close up. He made it clear after my exam that I have zero capacity in the peripheral vision department. Okay, I just told Kurt before we started this damn show, I could make anything a radio show. And all I kept thinking of, once again, after 52 years on this planet, knowing the truth over a lie, knowing freedom over bondage, it was confirmed by Dr. Webb in Janesville, Wisconsin, that once again, I am blind. And I'm here to tell you, it's not only literally, it's also spiritually. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. We'll be back on the other side of the break. All right, so welcome back. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. And I was told I was blind. I mean, when the doctor basically said, you're blind, of course I started to cry, because the reality is at this moment, this season of my life, I am feeling that sense of blindness, that spiritual blindness that just causes us to focus more on what's wrong than on what's right. That spiritual blindness that drives fear over faith, that spiritual blindness that does not allow us to see like what's right there in front of us, that farsighted, which really means you can't see close up, that close up presence of God and His grace that is so just tangible and accessible, that undeserved, unmerited gift, right? Gift that we got to get in order to be able to call it a gift. It has to be received. But instead we find ourselves whining and complaining, being driven by fear and uncertainty and doubt. I just talked to a friend of mine here at the station, and she talked about how she was so worried about her kid. And it's like, worry? Oh my gosh, who worries? I think everybody worries. And I think 98% of what we worry about doesn't even happen. And so when we're walking in a state of blindness, whether literally like me, let me back up for one second. When he was asking about my driving, okay, all of us went into each little room together. So there were four Hares to the one doctor, four Hares to the one assistant. And of course, we're all talking, you know, amongst each other. And it's so confusing and wanting to be able to, you know, get the attention of the person who's waiting on us. So it's just so frustrating to be around us. But all I kept thinking of is, wait a minute, this is why I'm a bad driver, guys. I am a bad driver because I have no peripheral vision. The doctor made it clear that he knows very intelligent people who get blindsided by another car simply because they didn't see it coming. And here's the deal. All I kept thinking about is on a daily basis how people that I love, and truth be told, myself included, get blindsided on a regular basis by something they didn't see coming. And how things could be so different if our perspective could be shifted and we would see things through this lens of faith that is just literally this gift of God's grace. And so I started thinking about this thing called grace and how it is this unmerited, unwarranted, but just always accessible to us, this gift that prompts us to be the people of God that we're called to be, even in the grit, even in the grind, even in those times where God is so hard to see or to find. And so I started thinking and started praying and started looking up some scriptures about, like, what is this thing called grace? Like, what is it and what stops us from really just embracing it? And, you know, I'm a person of faith who's been raised and has stayed in the Catholic Church. Not like all of you who always say I hear that a lot. I used to be Catholic. Well, not only did I used to be Catholic, but I'm still Catholic. And I did take a 20-year sabbatical, but I am back in that church. And I have to be reminded often that the laws and the things that drive a lot of things about the Catholic faith get misunderstood, right? It is not about keeping laws. Jesus came to fulfill the law. But so here's the deal about the law, though. They were amazing because laws are amazing. They keep us within confines. They keep us, they give us some boundaries that we might not otherwise have. But here's the deal. Back in the Old Testament, in the old days, there were like 613 laws that people had to live by. And scripture said, if you broke one, you might as well have broken them all, right? Which, as you know, I broke every single commandment multiple times back in the day. And now I try not to break them nearly as often. And clearly, I'm more mindful of what God is calling to be and me to be. But so the laws at one point didn't allow for God's grace. The law was you either do the right thing or you're wrong. You do this and you're good. You do this and you're bad. And God's law, which is so amazing, tries to tell us, no, wait a minute. The law you want to obey when you're operating from a place of grace. Okay, because here's the thing about the law. The law is the master in the best possible way. The scripture says law is a tutor that brings us to Christ. Tutor by definition is a person who is charged to help somebody else. That's a tutor. It's not the teacher. It's the tutor. It's the go-between. It's the person that bridges the gap between the student and the teacher. And that is what the law does. It helps us. We either master our desires or we are mastered by our desires. So the law is not about a do and a don't. A law is about bringing us closer to Christ. So the law, my friends, is our master. And with God's grace, we have a chance. We have a chance of maybe not keeping 613, but maybe keeping the two, which is to love God and to love neighbor as ourselves. Okay, number two. The law, in other words, this law that God's grace is allowed us to fulfill and had sent Jesus to fulfill, is a mirror. My friends, it is a mirror. You know, a mirror, like, first of all, recently, my daughter was in my bathroom and she was looking in a magnifying mirror. I don't know if you ever bought a magnifying mirror, but it really does make visible so many parts of you that you do not ever want to see. And if you never looked in a magnifying mirror, you'd never have to know just how many shortcomings and imperfections and things that really need some work, my friend. So the law is this mirror, because here's the thing. Scripture tells us that if we are a hearer of the word only and not a doer of the word, we're like someone who looked in the mirror, saw something, and then walked away and did nothing about it. See, a mirror is this parameter. This mirror is this thing that says, hey, wait a minute, I want to reflect God in my life. I want to mirror him in all the places and all the spaces. And I have zero chance of that without stepping in to his graces. And that's the kind of person that we're called to be. We are called to be people not to live out the law because we have to, but to live out laws which are put into place along with the gift of God's grace that allows us to live lives that are filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, where we're serving others and we're serving God and we're standing in the confidence of Christ that he will work all things out for our good. I just mentioned to Kurt before the show started, I got two sons. I got one that says they're going to do something and doesn't. And then I got another son who says they're not going and ends up to do it. Now, it's funny because scripture does have a way of repeating itself 2,000 years later. Still, we can find ourselves in these stories. And in that story of the two sons, the one who said they would do something and didn't versus the son who said, I am definitely not doing that and did. The question is asked later on in the story, like who had God's favor? Who did the right thing? And the answer is the son who said he wasn't going to but did it anyway is the guy who in God's eyes was operating from a place of grace. So here's the thing. When we talk about grace, grace is just truth. Grace is truth like personified. Grace is the truth of who we are in the eyes of God, who we're called to be in the eyes of God, and who God is. Like he says, I am who I say, I do what I will say. And here's the deal. You are who I say, and I call you to do what I say. And without God's grace, this unmerited, unwarranted gift that he keeps handing to us, we got zero chance of living God's grace in any place, never mind seeing it in the face of those we love. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. We'll be back after the break. Thanks to Cunis Country Auto Group. I suggest you go there and buy a lot of cars this week. We'll be back.
For my ever wandering heart, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading.
Okay, so not because of who I am, that song says, but because of what God has done. What he has done in sending his son so that we might have life and that we would have it abundantly. So scripture says Jesus came to fulfill the law. Okay, fulfill it. And all we're called to do is recognize that with God's grace, we have the chance, that we have a remote chance of living this life based on the laws of God, which are always for our highest and best good. See, the law, my friends, is a master. We talked about in the last segment, a master that tells us. It's like a tutor. It's a thing that says, do this and don't do that. But because you want to, not because you have to, because you get to as a person of faith. And the law is a mirror. It's that thing that reflects the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God. Number three, it is a map. My friends, it is a mirror. It is a master. And it is a map. The grace of God and the laws that come out of God's grace, it tells us which way to go. See, our intentions, when they are not aligned with actions, oftentimes take us places where we don't want to go. And we look back and wonder, like, how did we get here, right? Like, I am this person who has no idea how to get anywhere. I mean, I typically do not know how to get most places that other people would go without even thinking. But I can tell you, I know how not to get played. I don't know how to get there, but oftentimes I know how not to get there. And so this word of God is a map. It's a map. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us direction and intention. And with the grace of God operating in our life, we have such a chance of having what would be considered successful, satisfying, joy-filled relationships and parenting and professional lives. I mean, it's just this gift that if we don't take it, we don't get it. My friends, number four, the law and the grace of God is a measure. When I coach people, I often talk about what their measuring stick is. You know, we're always measuring ourselves, measuring up to and measuring up for. And I'm so often reminded after talking to people that it's not uncommon to find a measuring stick that we use to beat ourselves up with. We use the very measuring stick to decide it wasn't good enough, right? When we are operating under the unmerited, undeserved, unwarranted gift of God's grace, it's like this internal compass. It's just, we just know the next right thing. It's not about doing the right thing a year from now or 10 years from now. It's like a series of small decisions that we make, one after the other, the next right decision, where we find ourselves ending up exactly, and not only exactly, but in a place that was way better, way more fulfilling, and way different than we ever thought or intended it to be. See, the law is not keeping the measuring stick. The law is recognizing that our spirituality comes from the desire to please God, to serve God, and to serve his people. Now, I mentioned it's my son's 23rd birthday. I'm going to sidebar for a minute. So, of course, for my son's 23rd birthday, I gave him the greatest gift, not that he could ever want, but that I could ever want for him. See, I believe that God is the solution to everything. That's all solutions are spiritual. All problems can be satisfied from a biblical perspective. And if we could just get that piece of the pie right, it seems that everything else just falls into perspective. So happy 23rd birthday to my son, Carter. On his 23rd birthday, I claim over his life the 23rd Psalm. I think he will be forever trying to test me, to try me, to challenge me, and to defy me as a parent. Carter is this kid who has so many gifts and so many strengths and so many talents. And for just the times that he deviates from what I know God is calling him to be, I am absolutely that person who steps into his life and reminds him of who he's called to be. And so on his 23rd birthday, he gave me some suggestions. I won't even share with you the things he suggested I get or we get for him for his birthday, but I gave him the gift of God. I gave him the gift of faith. And so when he opens up his 23rd birthday today, he will know that his parents sent him on a retreat where he can go and reconnect with his Lord and Savior. He can reconnect to the godly man that he is. And so, of course, in that same box, I put a little crown because he does think he's the king of the family. And I put a little Bible that I gave him. And for some reason, he forgot to take that when he moved to Arizona. So I trust God to continue the work that he has begun in the life of not only that son, but all of my children. And so I claim Psalm 23 on him today, that the Lord leads him, provides him, protects for him, and provides for his every single need, because no desire is ever finally and fully satisfied apart from God. So back to the measuring stick, instead of beating ourselves up over it, we can recognize that the law is about keeping, not embellishing, not exaggerating, not excusing away, but literally operating under the gifts of God's grace. So we know the true measurement of our spirituality is not going to church. Okay. Father Dan from St. Benedict's used to say, going to church does not make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. So maybe Kurt thinks that's kind of funny. Okay. So the final thing that the law and the grace of God is not, it is not a machete. All other four words absolutely work. It's a master, it's a mirror, it's a map, and it's a measuring stick, but it is not a machete. It is not a machete to cut other people up. It is not a thing to show how well you are doing at the expense of how poor someone else may be doing. So oftentimes, if you've been in a church background where you are judged based on what you are not, you recognize what I'm saying about this whole machete. The law is a gift of God that builds us up. It does not tear us up. It provides for us the grace that we need to be the people of faith that God has called us to be. My friends, thank you for journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. If you're not going to use the grace of God as a master, as a mirror, as a map, or as a measure, then please, if nothing else, do not use it as a machete. Keep it hot, honest, open, and transparent. Peace out.